today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Marriott gives us more details on their rewards program as they complete their merger with Starwood. And the travel industry asks the White House to support travel after the third version of the president's travel ban is upheld by the Supreme Court.
Today's Smarter Traveler segment coming up at 3:20. We're going to tell you about hotels walk when they walk guests and how you could avoid being one of those who got walked. And I don't know, is this baseball or something?
No, this is legitimate.
Okay, yeah. Plus a couple of insider tips regarding the combined Starwood Marriott rewards program.
A brand new travel show premieres on KVIE Channel 6 tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. It's called Wild Travels, and it's all about unusual places in our United States. It's coming up at 3:35.
The Rush Creek Lodge outside of Yosemite National Park is not only one of the most beautiful new places to stay in the Sierra, it's also making an effort to involve young people in a great paid intern opportunity. We'll tell you all about it coming up at 3:50.
It's the Sunday before the 4th. Many of you are probably practicing your barbecuing skills, relaxing on the water, or taking care of business. Whatever you're up to, thank you for making time for the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Paradise
to Alaska. They go north to Rush Your Zone.
Lord, I was born in heaven, man.
I come from a land, 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 land.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
Welcome, everyone. It's the old-fashioned radio show, The Travel Guys. Mark was just giving me a hard time about that he wants more modern music in the introduction of the
I wasn't giving you a hard time.
Show.
I just looked over at Luis, and I said, you know, he's a few years younger than we are, and he would be the man.
I saw that. I heard that.
Yeah, well, it's
you're right. You're right.
I mean, I wasn't running you over or anything. I wasn't.
Yeah. In fact, the listeners, if you know of any travel song that have been recorded in the last 5 years that you think would make good Travel Guys intro music, go to travelguysradio.com and leave us a comment.
And if we add that song to our bumper music, by God, I'll send you a little gift card.
Holy cow, look at that.
Yeah.
All right, we are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Happy July 1st, and welcome back to town, Mark. You had a little journey up to Oregon. You still have the berry stains around your lips there from because you always come back with several baskets.
I'll tell you how crazed I am about berries in Oregon. I took a six-day tour, brought the people home Friday night. We got in at about 6:40 in the evening and got everybody in their cars and dispatched home and everything, because part of the deal when you travel Sports Leisure Vacations, part of the deal is transportation to and from your home. So you get back to the airport, you have a shared ride that gets you back home. So I get all those folks on their way. And then
you got back on the plane and went back and
No,
got
I
berries.
Went home and went to bed for a few hours and then went back and got
Did
on the plane
really?
At 5:30 the next morning. Yes, to go up, because yesterday was the day when the Marionberry picking opened. So, you know, you have to be there for that. It's a big deal. I don't know why a guy who travels so much is so, see, and you're laughing at me, is so freaky about getting fresh berries from Oregon. I have no idea. It's just everybody has their thing.
An hour and what ride?
I don't know by car, but it's an hour and 10 minutes. And people say, well, how can you bring fresh fruit home? I say, well, because there aren't any restrictions about, you know, if there was a fruit fly thing or something, then obviously you couldn't do that. But, you know, it's a way to have.
I was just making that up that you did that, but you really did.
I really did it, yes. Boy. We had a great trip going through on the Oregon coast. We had perfect weather, which, if you're in the Pacific Northwest and the weather strikes perfect, then you're in business, because, you know, the reason that not everybody on the planet lives there is because oftentimes it rains, the weather is cloudy or gloomy or things like that. But we had just beautiful weather, went to Astoria, Long Beach, Washington, which is an interesting little end-of-the-road destination. It was, to tell you how perfect it was 70 degrees in Astoria, which doesn't happen very often because they're out on the ocean there. And Seaside and Newport, The Elizabeth Street Inn in Newport, and then
the covered
bridges over in, that's right. You went and stayed at Elizabeth Street, and then the covered bridges over in Eugene. We had a really good trip, and I have some restaurant recommendations for folks that I'm going to share later on in the program. If you happen to be traveling up to the Oregon coast, I have found some really great places to eat.
I can hardly wait. I'm looking forward to it, and so are our Travel Guys listeners. At the beginning of every Travel Guys show, you know what we do? We do the travel news. And Mark has that. He spent while on the plane to Oregon to get berries, a lot of time researching the travel news.
I went into the office early this week. Do you know this chair over on my side is even taller than the chair that was over on your side? Who works in here before?
Andre the Giant. Andre has a show right before us. It's the Giant Show on KFBK.
So last week, the Supreme Court upheld the third version of the president's travel ban, and probably this is going to sound a little bit political because it is. This is kind of becoming a problem for the people in the travel industry here in this country. International arrivals were off 3% last year. You say, well, that's not very much. But considering that international arrivals had gone up for the last umpteen years in a row, so suddenly a 3% drop is pretty big. Here's the problem. The travel ban only applies to a few countries, and you can argue till the sun goes down about whether those folks should be allowed into the country with or without passports or whatever kind of types of regulations. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about here is the fact that the signal we're sending to the rest of the planet is that maybe we don't want you here. With all of these immigration issues that are in the news every day, separation of families, all these things that have blown up, what it's the message it's sending to people from the other side of other parts of the planet is, don't come here. After many years of sending a very different message. So what's happening is that message is starting to resonate with people. So last year, arrivals were off 3%. It is people who monitor these things say they're off another percent or two this year. That's a lot of 1% in international travels. And I'm not going to quote this here because I don't have the numbers, but it's a lot of jobs. And so you get up to 4 or 5%. That's a whole lot of jobs. And travel is something that we import very well. The people who come to our country spend a lot of money when they come here, more money than we spend when we go there. So it's a balance of trade plus, which is kind of ironic because we're talking about tariffs and all these things that really aren't related to travel, when travel is probably one of the, isn't probably, it is one of the things that is most important to our nation's economy in terms of the fact that we make a profit from travel. So when we send the message to people that they shouldn't come to this country for whatever reason, then true or not, then what we're doing is we're in essence cutting our own throat. We're cutting our own profits with things that we're doing. So I'm not sure what the solution to this is, but the travel industry is asking the president and the White House to please try to send a more positive message to the 95% of the planet that we would welcome here.
Right. You know, even if it's not a country that's on the list, it does send a message to the other countries and the other travelers saying, gee, you know, that doesn't sound like a very friendly place to go. Maybe we ought to skip that. So it's going to impact travel from the non-banned countries as well, don't you think?
And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
It's not the travel. The countries that are on the banned travel list make up a very insignificant, even if they weren't on a banned list, would make a very insignificant amount of inbound travel. So what's happening is that this is spilling over. Our reputation is at stake here as a friendly travel country, as a place to come. I mean, we have so many wonderful, amazing things in this country to share with people that if we're going to crack down our immigration laws, then the way people are going to see this country is to come here as a visitor. So and we make money on those visitations. So that's the end of my political statement for today. I'm obviously in the travel industry. I don't work with international inbound travelers. This has no personal effect. I don't have a dog in this race on any level, but I have a lot of friends who are in this race. A lot of people, San Francisco is a huge inbound international city. So there are definitely Californians, Los Angeles, San Diego. How many of the people at Disneyland every day are international visitors?
Oh, lots and lots.
So,
I think most of us that do travel to any of the major resorts do see, you know, the influx of travelers from other countries, and be curious to see if it starts to impact places like that.
Well, and that's the important, and that's why I mention it now, is because before the before we're off 10%, it would be better if maybe the president came out and said, look, let me clarify something here. Let's make something really clear about where we are here. And that would be, I think, a big, I don't know if it would be a big help or not, but it definitely wouldn't be a negative. All right, enough for that rant. Southwest Airlines has expanded their bookable flight schedule. Why is this important? Because most airlines allow you to book your flights 11 months in advance to the day. And Southwest has a little bit different situation where their schedule is usually out there about 6 months in advance. They just extended it past the holiday period recently. They have extended it again into March. So we're getting closer to that 11-month window. So if you're looking to travel the first 2 months of next year, Southwest Airlines has opened their schedule. And the great thing about Southwest, if you don't know this, if you buy a ticket on Southwest Airlines and a better fare comes up later, then they will refund the difference in those two fares. There's no service charge. There's no nothing. If you paid $100 and now the ticket costs $75, Southwest says you can have the ticket for $75 and here's your $25 back. No vouchers, no credits to use on a later flight, but the actual cash back. One of the things that makes Southwest, I think, a better airline choice. Here's something that's kind of cool. Tom, you're on an airplane. This happens to me a lot. You know, the drink cart's coming down and you're thirsty, but you're tired and your eyes are drooping and you're afraid you're going to doze off to sleep before, heaven forbid, you should be in an upgraded service or on a flight where there is a meal served. And you want to be awake for the meal, but you're dozing off and you're thinking, wow, if there was just a way to tell the flight attendant, you know, that you're thinking about writing a note and putting it on your tray table or something like that. This is an airline, this is a small airline overseas that has come up with an idea. They're in Kazakhstan, and they have come up with this sleeping mask. And it says, wake me up for the meal, if that's what you want to do. Unfortunately, it didn't print very well here off the computer, but it literally says in all kinds of different languages, please wake me up for the meal, or I would like a beverage or something like that. I think that is really cool. When is an American airline going to think of that? Airlines for America, which is the transportation airlines group, has asked the federal government to reduce the number of animal species allowed to qualify as emotional support animals. In other words, if it isn't a service dog, it isn't flying on the airplane. So this is kind of an extension of what we've been talking about recently, but this is kind of the airlines lobbying group. So now the airlines have taken the official position that, and I will tell you, Oregon's a very pet-friendly place.
I would think.
The airport is a pet-friendly community. People have their, and at the Portland Airport, they ask that you keep your animals in the container that they're supposed to be in. But as I go through other airports the last month and a half or so since this has been instituted, we are seeing fewer animals. There definitely are fewer animals on planes. I haven't seen a Great Dane or a Labrador Retriever anytime recently, but there you go. Route 66, the National Trust for Historic Preservation, has asked that Route 66 be listed as an endangered historical site across the country. They're asking Congress, heaven forbid, they're asking Congress to take some action and declare it a preserved site so that places across the country can be preserved. I would very much like to see that happen as an old Route 66 guy. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Follow along at travelguysradio.com. Okay, coming up right after the break, we're going to find out this whole thing about the hotels and walking. This walking thing.
Yeah, have you ever had that happen to you?
No, I have never been walked by a hotel.
Okay.
Struck out a couple of times.
Some people out there right now are going, walked by a hotel? How would you be walked by a hotel? Well, we are going to have that answer right after we come back in 3 minutes on The Travel Guys.
Welcome, everyone. You have found The Travel Guys. We're here every Sunday, 3 to 4 o'clock. Talk about travel and the information to make you a smarter traveler. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we teased before we went into the break, Mark, let's talk about hotels that walk their guests.
There you go.
First of all, go ahead and explain to those that may not know what we're talking about, what we're talking about here. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me use a, this is one from one of Chris Elliott's forums. This is a lady who wrote in and said, we booked a room at the Detroit Marriott Renaissance Hotel in April for two nights. was booked directly through the Marriott website. We received an email confirmation. We even received another email confirmation several days later. But when we showed up at 5:30 on the night of check-in, we were told they did not have a room for us. They admitted they overbooked and mentioned something about walkaways. I'm not sure if that's the exact term they used because I was so upset. We booked at this overpriced location because it was, and here we go, it was close to the convention center. They'd be able to valet their car for 2 days, walk to the convention center for events, be able to walk back to their hotel room during the day. Lots of reasons the people chose this hotel.
Right.
Marriott gave them a room in a nearby suburb of Troy for two nights. And actually, for the first night, said that they could move back into their hotel the second night. But the guests were so angry, they didn't believe Marriott anymore. And they said the whole situation was leaving us with no room in downtown Detroit is unforgivable. I'm not satisfied at all with the way they responded to their intentional overbooking. They offered these people some points for a future stay. And of course, they said we're never going to stay with Marriott again. I think they are vile to knowingly do what they did. This is the guest speaking. They ruined our entire weekend, and they just don't seem to care. I just can't get over how a service-oriented corporation does this to travelers. I want to make them as miserable as we were are. Is this overbooking a normal practice? Do we have any grounds for a lawsuit?
They want to be equally as vile, it sounds to
me. I guess. And the answer to their question is this overbooking a normal practice? And the answer is yes.
You know, I think most people, you know, that only travel a few times here and there don't necessarily run into it. So
your airplane is overbooked on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's never happened to me.
Southwest Airlines overbooks more than the other carriers because they have a much more lenient cancellation program. So, you know, you can cancel for free up until 10 minutes before your flight departs. So a lot of people will wait until the last minute for not because they're trying to screw the airline or be nefarious, but just because that's what their situation requires. Hotels regularly oversell their properties. And the problem with an airline is that if an airline overbooks and you've got a confirmed ticket, then there are some real strong rules about what is going to happen next if you don't get on that airplane and you've followed all the rules and you're at the gate when you're supposed to and all that stuff, then you're going to be entitled to some pretty strong compensation and you're going to be real high on the airline's list of we have to take care of you next.
Now, hotels, on
hotels,
the other hand?
Hotels, not so much. This is where the walking thing comes in. That's the term, a hotel walking you is a term for when you don't have a room. And in essence, they walk you to another hotel.
Not necessarily physically, but
exactly.
Because it could be too far to walk.
That's and it, as it was in the case that this lady is talking about here. Yeah. Yes. As we look out on the big DoubleTree Hotel here at Arden Fair Mall, this is DoubleTree's a Hilton property. So I can look across the freeway and see a Hilton hotel. If this DoubleTree is full, there's a pretty good and they've got people who have confirmed reservations. If there are rooms at the Hilton, there's a pretty good chance that's where they're going to send you. It's a sister property. Same thing in reverse. If the Hilton is full, they're going to send you to the DoubleTree. I will suggest to you, however, there is a price difference and a quality difference between the two hotels. They are not equal. And they're not equal in the public's eye either. Hilton is generally considered to be the parent brand, and DoubleTree is a little bit lesser brand. In this case, the DoubleTree Hotel here has been recently renovated and is in pretty good shape. I would say Hilton shape. So there's not too much difference, but that doesn't always work that way. Sometimes they send you to a hotel that isn't as good. And what recourse do you have when you get there late at night or you're the person who's getting walked? The answer is at that point in time, you have almost no recourse. Is it legal for them to do this? Yes, it's legal. Do they have to provide you with another room? Depends on the hotel.
All in the fine print.
Yes.
When they send you that confirmation email.
But there are some things you can do to avoid being the person who gets walked.
Okay.
First of all, if you're a member of the frequent guest program for that hotel, that keeps you off that list a lot of times. They're looking for people who are not regular customers. If you're a regular customer and you've stated that by belonging to the hotel's frequent guest program, then that's what you absolutely want that. If you're staying in a Marriott hotel, you're a Marriott Rewards customer. It doesn't matter if you only stay there once every 5 years. You've got a number, and you're attempting to be a loyal Marriott customer, even though your record may not prove it. If you're arriving late at night at a hotel, always call them and tell them you're coming. If I'm going to arrive after 11 o'clock, I will always contact the hotel and let them know when I'm coming. And especially, maybe I'm on a flight that's delayed a couple, 3 hours. I didn't expect to get there at 1:30 in the morning, but that's what's going to happen. Well, I'm going to call and make sure the shuttle's still running if I'm dependent on that. And I'm going to tell the guy at the front desk, hey, I'm Mr. Hoffman. I have a reservation for tonight or for the next 3 nights. I am going to be there. I'm going to be there very late, but I'm coming. So that they don't, because what happens is they run out of rooms as the night goes on, and you're Joe Schmo, and you don't have any status or anything with the hotel, well, then you haven't shown up yet? Well, Joe, we're going to give your room away because maybe you won't show up, and then we won't have a problem. So we'll give it to the guy who's standing at the desk right now. So, but if you've called the hotel and reminded them that you're still coming, then there's a very good, then there's no reason to give your room away because obviously you're coming. Also, if they were oversold and they weren't going to have a room for you, there's a possibility they might broach that at that point in time,
right,
saving you from having to go to a hotel where you didn't have a room at. So the bottom line is this happens pretty frequently. Did you have something else you wanted to?
I just wanted to say that, you know, you got to be planning ahead. If you've got a connection flight and the connection flight is running late and at that point in time, you're pretty sure you're not going to get to your destination until late, that's when you call. You don't want to wait until you get into town.
No.
But call before you get on the plane at that connection and make sure that they know you're not,
and make
that you're going to be late.
Have them put it in your record. All right, we promised a couple of tips about the Marriott Starwood program. We got half a minute here. Apply for Marriott's credit card. If you stay in Starwood properties currently, apply for the Marriott credit card. There's a $100,000 bonus if you spend $5,000 within 3 months. So that's one thing you need to do. The other thing is Marriott is going to increase the cost of points on their most popular properties. At the first of the year, there's going to be a 4-month window where you can book those properties at a lower rate. So there's a couple little tips for you on the Marriott Starwood merger that's coming up.
Wild Travels joins us next here on The Travel Guys right after the news.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels.
Oh, Tom, I think we have found the perfect spot here.
Well, I should say, I mean, it sounded like they had been reading your mail. I mean, when you first introduced me to this program and told them we were going to do an interview, I was reading the different places and information about it, and I spotted a number of off the beaten path oddities that that you've gone to. So this is absolutely perfect. Tell our listeners who we're going to be talking with.
It's amazing. We are talking with Harvey Moshman. Harvey is the executive producer of this wonderful new show called Wild Travels, which is all about off the beaten track. Harvey, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Delighted to be here.
We are thrilled to have you. I wish our listeners could see this wonderful array of the places that are going to be on the first 6 shows here. Everything from the Hangover Doctor in Las Vegas, the Beer Can House in Houston, the Standstill Parade in Minnesota, the Coroner's Gift Shop in Los Angeles. I want to ask you about some of those places that you went to, but first I want you to tell us where we can see Wild Travels here in Sacramento.
Well, that would be on KBIE Channel 6, Mondays at 7:30, starting July 2nd, I believe.
By golly, that's tomorrow. The first episode will be aired tomorrow night at 7:30 on KBIE. There's a rumor that Sports Leisure Vacations might be one of the underwriters of that. Harvey, tell us a little bit about the show and what it's all about.
Well, we crisscross the country looking for the odd, the unusual, the eccentric, the unconventional destinations in the greater United States area. And there's just the three of us on the road, and we have a ball doing it. And we started many years ago with a similar show called Wild Chicago that ran here in the Windy City, where I'm from, for about 14 years. So we took a break, and we decided we liked that doing that show so much, but we expanded our horizons. And now we do the entire country instead of just Chicago.
Harvey, let me ask you, before I start going down your list here and picking out things that piqued my interest, of these places that you visited, all of these off-the-wall places in the first half a dozen episodes here, what was your favorite?
I think probably the Rattlesnake Roundup in Sweetwater, Texas is definitely high on my list.
The Rattlesnake Roundup.
Texas, as you may know, is quite another world. from what we're used to here in the upper Midwest area. And so they have this problem with rattlesnakes in Texas. And once a year, this is the world's largest rattlesnake roundup. They, in fact, gather as many snakes as they can from the surrounding area. They milk them. Then they chop their heads off. Then they skin them. And you can even eat them later. And no one seems to think this is the least unusual.
Wow, that's unusual in itself.
Yeah, certainly sounds.
Well, I have to also preface this by saying that a lot of teenagers are involved in the process of skinning and and frying and so forth. And you know, if you've ever seen a rattlesnake after its head has been cut off, it's still moving for quite a while.
Yeah,
and it's really kind of freaky.
Yeah, having teenagers involved in that doesn't surprise me at all.
I understand a rattlesnake can still bite you.
Skins off.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And the most amazing thing to me is that they're all covered in blood, okay? So they put their handprints on a wall like it was finger painting in first grade. And they put their handprints on the wall covered in blood, and then they sign their name. I'm not making any of this up, seriously.
Okay, now wait a minute. In Minnesota, you guys attended something called the Stand Still Parade, which seems to be kind of flies in the face of its own title there. How do you have a standstill parade?
There's a town that's so small, it's only two blocks long and has 63 people, yet they really wanted to have a parade. And the problem would be, of course, the parade is almost over immediately after it starts. So they decided they would invite people who normally perform in a parade, including marching bands, to come to that two-block area and stand still and have the town walk around them.
That's great. I love that.
My goodness.
And it gets an enormous turnout, including the VFW guys who sit in folding chairs Well, everybody admires them and walks around. And now, the marching band, of course, just stands in place.
Now, you already got that episode shot. Is that correct?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Oh, boy. All right. What?
That sounds like fun. You went to Portland, and you did a wedding at Voodoo Donuts?
That's right. Voodoo Donuts, of course, is almost nationally renowned because of all the different types of exotic donuts they make. But to amp it up a little bit in the store, for a few hundred dollars, they will perform a legitimate wedding. And it's slightly voodoo-ish in its concerns. And they perform the wedding. And if Isaac Hayes, who is the god of all approval for these kinds of weddings, thinks it's okay, the lights flash and you get married.
Wow. This is, Harvey, this is really, for those of you who may have just tuned in, we're talking about a brand new show on public television. It premieres at 7:30 tomorrow night here on KVIE Channel 6 called Wild Travels. It's all about stuff, if you're wondering, what the heck are these guys talking about? It's all about stuff that's weird and strange and different and unique and fun. Harvey, before we let you go here, anything that you want to share with our listeners here on why they really should be tuning into Channel 6 Monday night at 7:30?
Well, all of these things are open to the public. There's nothing that you have to belong to or in any special kind of admission. So everything from the International Mustard Museum, which is in Middleton, Wisconsin, that we will see on Monday, to Rock in the House, which is exactly what it sounds like, where a 55-ton boulder rolled down and cut this house in half, and somebody said, hey, let's turn that into our tourist attraction. It's all there. You just pull over to the side of the road. You may have to pay a couple dollars to get in, but these are things that if you just scratch the surface, you can find.
Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I am going to be on the road Monday night, so you can bet my DVR will be set.
Yours and mine, too.
Yeah. 7:30 for the next half a dozen weeks on Channel 6, underwritten by Sports Leisure Vacations, Wild Travels. Harvey, thank you so much for some time today. And, hey, if you guys go back and shoot any more of these, why, keep us in mind. We would love to get an update from you.
Will do.
Outstanding. Thanks for joining us here on the Travel Guys, my friend.
Okay. Talk to you later.
A parade that where the people, where the audience, the spectators move around the parade. I have to see that.
I'm really looking forward to this show. This is a weird, unusual, strange, humorous.
KVIE.
Odd. Sounds like the Travel Guys.
Tomorrow night, 7:30, Wild Travels. Be there. Listen, we forgot to. We've had so much new air service to announce to folks on this program, and so much new air service to Hawaii to announce in this program. It just didn't qualify, didn't rise to the top. But Hawaiian Airlines last week announced more new Sacramento Hawaii air service. I guess they're once again being proactive before Southwest gets here. But not only has Alaska announced they're going to the Big Island, they already go to Maui.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaiian already goes to Honolulu. Now they're going to go to Maui every day starting next April. So that's three dailies and one three times a week, and Southwest isn't on the scene yet. This is going to be the best place to fly for Hawaii from the whole West Coast. The fares are going to be $1.45.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that does drive the price down, but I think we talked about this. You can expect that a lot of folks are going to be flying in from other locations,
yes,
other places in the country, to connect in Sacramento. We're going to be the connection location.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, they're going to fly off to Hawaii. So still, you know, people are going to be battling for those seats, I think, in the final outcome.
Well, and witness that the Maui flight is not going to leave here until 11:15 in the morning. So that gives people an opportunity to fly in here,
sure,
and connect here, because you know, the first flight from Denver will already have arrived, the first flight from Salt Lake, some of these other places that are a little bit more east than Sacramento, and it would make a logic. Would you rather connect in Sacramento or San Francisco?
Honestly, yeah, Sacramento for sure, and a lot of people are going to be looking at
it's
that.
It's just funny, though, because for many years we had no service to Hawaii at all, and now
yeah,
all these
all
guys are falling all over themselves to get here. So anyway, good news for folks who like to go to the islands. It looks like it will be cheaper as Hawaiian steps in with the daily service to Maui starting next April.
All righty, let's see here. Coming up right after we take a 3.5-minute break, we've got the Rush Creek Lodge to talk about. I've looked at their website, Mark, and we visited with this guy, and
they have a great program for hiring interns. Might not be on the top of everybody's intern hiring list, and then taking them, doing more than just giving them a job and a paycheck. So it's a pretty good story.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place with a wonderful cause, and that's next on the Travel Guys.
Hold on.
Hi there, this is Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we're headed not too far from Sacramento to some most beautiful part of the world right here in our own backyard. Mark, who's our guest?
Well, Tom, we're going up to just outside of Yosemite National Park. There's a new lodge up there called the Rush Creek Lodge. And not only is it a beautiful place to stay, as some Sports Leisure travelers found out a couple of months ago, but they have some really unique programs up there, some things that are really outstanding. Matt Dunn is joining us on the phone. Matt is the Youth Development Program Director at Rush Creek Lodge. Matt, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Matt, tell me, one of our tour directors, Ramona Gooch, came back from the lodge and said, this is really an amazing place to stay. And she says they have this really interesting program there where they are employing kids. They have a youth employment program. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, it's a program that started with our sister property over at Evergreen Lodge, which is just about 7 miles away from us, same part of the Yosemite area. But the idea is that we take young people that are having, I guess, let's say they're having a failure to launch. You know, they could use a little bit of support gaining employment and setting some goals and some direction in their life. We bring them aboard. We employ them for 16 weeks in full-time jobs. So they work full-time here. In addition to that, we have a wonderful recreation component where we take them out, you know, into the Yosemite area, hiking, camping, water rafting, that sort of thing. And then we meet with them also once a week to help them set personal goals and kind of make some strides in their future.
Matt, how do kids become involved in this? If somebody's listening or knows of somebody who might be interested in something like this, how do they get more information on it?
Well, there are a couple ways. They are more than welcome to reach out to me directly, Matt Dunn, at Rush Creek Lodge. And that's mattd@rushcreeklodge.com for my email address. Or you could just call the lodge and ask to be connected. We also partner with educational groups, nonprofits, youth support groups in the Bay Area, too. So we do a lot of reaching out that way as well. And we have a youth page at our program site at our website too. So you can go to rushcreeklodge.com or evergreenlodge.com and find some information, see some videos on the program and get informed that way. And I'm always happy to swing by and, you know, talk to groups that are interested in what we do as well.
Matt, whose brainchild was this to come up with this training program for the youth? And what a kind of experience with dealing with these kids do you have, or do the people that work with them have?
So I came on board the program probably about 10 years ago. Prior to that, I was an educator, and I taught at a community college for a little bit, and I also did some youth nonprofit work in the Bay Area. And so our program staff, you know, is a combination of people with pretty diverse backgrounds. They could have wilderness training. A lot of our program managers have some experience in outdoor experiential education, that sort of thing. We've also had managers in the past who focused on education, you know, that would really help these young people kind of drill down in, you know, moving forward if education was a barrier. We are united around this common mission to help young people who need a little extra assistance and would enjoy being, you know, in the area and being exposed to new recreational opportunities.
Matt, getting accommodations in Yosemite National Park, especially in season, is becoming increasingly difficult and increasingly expensive. The parks are crowded. The national parks are crowded, particularly in the summertime. Ramona came home and said Rush Creek Lodge is a wonderful alternative. She said less expensive, better accommodations, more going on, and you can get into the park very easily. Tell us a little bit about the lodge, where it is, and a little bit about the amenities that are offered there for our listeners.
Sure. So Rush Creek Lodge is located less than a mile from the Big Oak Flat entrance, the 120 entrance to Yosemite. So it's real easy to get into the park, you know, and we are a new lodge. We opened in 2016, so I like to think that a lot of our amenities, you know, are more up to date than some of the older places, maybe down the hill and into the valley. But we have a wonderful restaurant. We have a tavern. You know, we have these at both of our places, Rush Creek and Evergreen. We have saltwater pools where guests can just kind of hang out and relax and wind after a long day. Hot tubs. And we have, you know, wellness programs. So if you're looking to get a nice massage, you know, after your long day's hike, you can unwind with one of those as well. One of the cool things that makes us unique too, if you don't want to have to go into the valley to meet with, you know, the rangers or park staff to get more information about what you're going to do for the day, we have designated recreation program and program staff here to inform guests of hikes in the park, conditions in the park. You know, they're well versed in like the flora, the fauna, so they're basically naturalists. And we offer guided trips, be that like drive around type trips, just to kind of check out the greatest hits as far as the scenery goes. They also book, you know, hikes, and then we contract out for fly fishing excursions, and, you know, pretty much whatever guests want to do in the park or around the area, you know, we can help connect them with that too.
Matt Dunn is the youth development program director at Rush Creek Lodge. A very interesting way of being involved in the community, and a great place to stay if you are headed for Yosemite Park. We will put links to Matt in case you are interested in his specifically in his youth program and would like to contact him, and also links to the lodge at travelguysradio.com. Matt, thank you very much for your time today.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for checking in with us.
All righty. I'm looking forward to getting to visit Rush Creek and see the young folks at work. Sounds like a really splendid program.
It does. Listen, we were talking right before the news at the bottom of the hour. I was trying to quickly cram in a couple of tips about the Marriott Starwood Rewards Program. If you're not a frequent hotel stayer, then this doesn't apply to you. But if you are, and a lot of folks stay frequently at Marriott or Starwood, which is Sheraton, properties. Now that's all one brand. So they're combining their frequent guest programs, and it will combine the first part of next month. And details on this program are coming out a little at a time. So anyway, what's going to happen is Marriott's creating this new super level for all of their really top, theirs and Starwood's really top properties. They're going to cost 85,000 points a night. Right now, Marriott's chart tops out at 60,000 points a night. What's going to happen in early August is all these Starwood wonderful properties are going to be thrown into Marriott, and they can't cost more than 60,000 points, even though they are supposed to be 85. They won't be 85 till the first of the year. So for 4 months, if you have a lot of points to spend, you could get some really good deals on Starwood properties that are coming into the Marriott program. Does that make sense?
It does. But, you know, keep in mind, folks, if you are a Starwoods or you are a Marriott, they're in the process of reevaluating what the point values are, because the hotels that you were talking about that may be 60,000 points,
right,
in the Marriott world, that would have been a 20,000 point property.
Right, for Starwood, because their points basically are worth
3 to 1.
It's about a 3 to 1 conversion. So Starwood points are worth about a third, but their redemptions also cost about a third. And in some cases, most people have considered for years Starwood's to be the best program out there and Marriott to be second best. So the hope is that they will take all the good things from the Starwood program and keep all the good things from the Marriott program. Quickly here. This is kind of, and we told you that if you stay frequently at those properties, consider getting the Marriott credit card.
Mm-hmm.
That will get you some minimum status. If you spend $5,000 in 3 months, it'll get you 100,000 points, which is a lot of points. I mean, they'll get you some, that would get you 5 nights in an inexpensive Marriott or Courtyard or something like that. One other thing, this is kind of interesting. I never would have thought of this. Hotels, when they're supposed to open, set an opening date. And then, you know, 6 months out, they start taking reservations. Obviously, they want guests when they open. It's very common. Apparently, it happens about 3 times out of 4 that hotels don't make that opening date.
Nobody opens on time.
So they have to call people or notify them and say, we're really sorry, but we can't accommodate you.
Right.
Can we put you in another hotel and let us give you X number of points or compensation for it? Would you believe that there are people who go around and book themselves into, you can see where this is going, into brand new hotels that haven't opened yet with speculating that they will never use the reservation because the hotel will not open on time. And now Starwood has caught on to this.
Yes.
And they're calling people on it. So if it's, what an incredibly genius hack on the part of frequent travelers, but.
So what do they call up and tell you? You're just.
Well, you've booked for the opening night on several different hotels. And so we know that according to your records, you cancel 95% of these.
I see.
So we're on to you.
Well, just don't try that with the same hotel chain.
In Oregon, if you're traveling up there, I have some suggestions for dining.
All right.
You're going to Astoria, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You should eat at the Silver Salmon Grill. It is a wonderful place.
Link at travelguysradio.com.
There is, to all of these places. Clearwater in Newport. It might be one of the best meals that I have had anywhere in recent years. The restaurant's called Clearwater. It's on the waterfront in Newport. And one of their desserts is s'mores, and you will make them at your table. They bring you a small fire and the whole thing. Their desserts at Clearwater are amazing. Another one I want to mention is a place called Moe's. Moe's is a small restaurant all up and down the coastal cities of Oregon. There's one in the airport in Portland. Moe's has great chowder and great fish and chips and stuff like that. So if you're looking for a casual place, go to Moe's. But if you're going for lunch or dinner, make sure you go early because they are places that are tremendously popular. Lots of stuff like that can be found at travelguysradio.com.
Off to Cahokia Mound, State Historic Site, next week on The Travel Guys, and lots of other stuff to make you a smarter traveler.
Make sure you dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friend. See you next time.